The Lord be with you.
And welcome as we gather to worship as Murfreesboro Baptist Church this morning. We're so glad that you're here. And welcome guests that we have in our service today. Thank you for being here and being a part of our worship. We also welcome those joining us by our live stream or our radio broadcast. We're grateful that you're worshiping with us today and pray it'll be a blessing to you as you join in as we worship God together. And if you're looking for a church, we'd love to have you come worship with us here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church anytime. You can learn more about us by looking at our website, murfbc.org. We're grateful for your presence today. Let me mention just a few things. Now, I know that it's kind of dreary outside and rainy and messy, and I shared this story at the community Thanksgiving service, but I'll share it again this morning. This old pastor was accustomed every Sunday morning to begin the service with a prayer of thanksgiving. And one day that was a lot worse than this because it was cold and rainy and windy and everything. Folks wondered, what in the world is he going to thank God for this morning? And so when he got up to pray, he said, "O Lord, we thank thee that every Lord's day is not like this Lord's day." So, we're grateful that not every Lord's day is like this Lord's day, but we are grateful that it is the Lord's day. And that we can come together to worship God, and we're glad that you're here. There are several things that I want to mention briefly. I'm not going to go into detail about them because the details are in the bulletin on the back page, and you can see that there. But remember that we are receiving the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship offering for global missions during December. Our angel tree has one tag left. Got it? All right, that's done. All right, but notice the change in the date for the deadline. Instead of December 15th, you need to have it here by December 14th. So keep that in mind as well. In your bulletin, there is an insert about the fuel assistance program that we have done before. And so please take note of that. And I hope that you'll give generously to that. Also take note of the announcement about the White Christmas boxes and a number of the items that we've asked for. We have plenty of them. So those have been marked off on the posters where the food is being collected. So take note of that as well. Also remember that we have our ongoing food pantry monthly donations, and there are some months or some items that we need some volunteers to volunteer to bring each month. So you can look at the bulletin board by the pantry, and you can see what's needed and sign up there. Let me mention one other thing that is not in the bulletin, but of course, the Murfreesboro Historical Association is having its candlelight tours this weekend. We had the opportunity, this is of course our first time, but we went on Thursday night. Our niece and her family from Greenville came up and were with us. Friday night, I'm sorry. It was a parade Thursday night. Thank you. Thank you. See, I'm not perfect. You know that. But Friday night, yes. And, you know, it was interesting as we went around to the different locations. We were able to say to our family that was with us, now these folks are members of our church. Because so many of the houses that we went to, folks from our church were leading the tours or involved in some way. And so we're grateful for that, and we're glad to have Jimmy Moore, the president of the association, with us this morning, and thank you for joining us for worship today. Well, we are glad that we have the opportunity to gather and worship God this morning. For our call to worship, the Cole family is going to lead us in the lighting of our Advent wreath.
Last Sunday, we lit the first candle of our Advent wreath, the candle of hope. Let us light it again to show our hope continues.
John the Baptist called on the people of his day to prepare the path for the coming of the Messiah.
He called them to repent, turn around, change their ways. To live in peace with others, we need to repent and change directions.
We light this second candle to remind us that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He shows us how to share God's peace with others.
The prayer of St. Francis asks God to help us to be peacemakers. Let us say it together. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is sadness, joy. And where there is darkness, light. Grant that we may seek not so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we receive, in pardoning that we are pardoned, and in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.
Let us stand and sing stanza 1 and 2 of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, number 79.
Please join me in our litany of assurance, printed in your order of worship from Psalm 85. Please join in on the bold print. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You pardoned all their sin. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to them in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make a path for his steps. Our hymn of praise is number 87, Arise, Your Light Is Come.
Thank you. have the children come for the children's sermon. Two was Mary. So, Eric, would you open box three for us? Who do you think that is? Jack, you got a guess?
Joseph.
Sweet Mary now knew she'd be Jesus' mother, but moms need some help. She needed another. And Jesus would soon need a here on earth dad. God knew all that. There's the plan that he had. God had a man named Joseph in mind. He'd make a good husband who's loving and kind. So one night God sent an angel to speak instructions to Joseph while he lay asleep. Joseph, take Mary, she'll be a good wife. This marriage is still God's plan for your life. God's spirit has given her a baby within. His name will be Jesus. He'll save you from sin. All right, Winslow, what you got? Jesus. After a while, there came a decree, go back where you're from originally. So this couple set out to Bethlehem town, and when they arrived, they looked all around. But the inns were too full, no room for two guests, and Mary was tired. She needed to rest. All rooms are taken, the innkeeper said, but then an idea popped into his head. My stable's not much, but there you can stay. I'll give you this manger, a feed trough with hay. Later on there, in the quiet of night, to Joseph and Mary's excited delight, she gave birth to God's son. It was not a surprise. God said it would happen, and he never lies. God gave the first gift that first Christmas day. He gave us the Christ, the babe in the hay. But that is not all. God wants something grand, an offering to him, the point of his plan. What God wants for Christmas, it's to you a surprise. In box number 7, it is disguised. But no peeking, be patient, for this you must wait. It's what you offer him, and it's really great. All right, let's say a prayer. Heavenly Father, throughout this Advent season, as we hear the retelling of the birth of our Savior, may we believe like Mary, trust like Joseph, hope like shepherds, seek like wise men, worship like angels, and love like Jesus. In your Son's name, amen. Amen.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through the first part of verse 15. But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. And since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire? But in accordance with his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we join together in prayer this morning, there are several concerns that we have. Ed Rainey, we want to remember Ed and Verley. Ed broke his leg and had to have surgery on it and has been in the hospital, so please be in prayer for them. Also, continue to remember Yvonne and Brad Warren. We have a request for Ava Dixon. I think that's Diane's granddaughter. I'm sorry, Kathy. Okay, Kathy's granddaughter in Leggett, North Carolina, and she has RSV, and so we want to remember her as well. And then, of course, the folks in Tennessee with all of the tornadoes yesterday, we want to remember them as well. We have some others who have had some surgery recently, T.W. Hill and Laura Osborne. And we also want to remember Paula and her husband. They've had strep throat. And Paula is here this morning. Probably shouldn't be, but she is. And we appreciate her faithfulness and pray that they will be over this very soon. All right. Well, let's join together in prayer. And I'll offer our prayer, and then we'll close by praying the Lord's Prayer together. Oh God, our Father, we marvel at the fact that we can call you our Father. For we realize that you are the one who created this universe, the one who set the worlds in motion, the one who created us in your own image to be in relationship with you. And yet we rebelled against you and we chose our way over your way. But Father, how grateful we are that you were determined not to leave us, but rather that down through the ages you have worked your great eternal purpose of redemption and salvation, sending prophets and sending those who prepared the way for the coming of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we're preparing to celebrate. We're amazed, Father, that in Him the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and showed us what it means to be in a right relationship with you, and then laid down His life for us, dying on the cross, but then rising from the dead, so that we might be forgiven and have eternal life. All glory, honor, and praise belong to you, O Lord, for you have indeed done great things. But Father, we thank you that you didn't stop there, but that during this in-between time, between His comings, you've sent your Holy Spirit to dwell in us and among us as your people, to guide us and empower us for the work of your kingdom. And Lord, we thank you that Jesus has given the promise of His return, and that when He returns in glory, He'll raise the dead and judge the world in righteousness and set all things right in the new creation, the new heavens, and the new earth. We thank you and praise you, O Lord, for these great and precious promises. And Lord, we thank you that you call us along with our thanksgivings to make known our requests to you. And so, Lord, these that we have called by name this morning, we lift up to you, asking your help and your healing for restoration, for strength, for guidance. Lord, that you'll work in each situation according to your will and in a way that will further the purposes of your kingdom. We pray, Lord, for grace and peace, for those who go through extended struggles or extended illness, and ask your help for them. We thank you, Lord, that we have those who've been sick recently who are able to be back among us, and we pray your blessings on them. Father, we ask your blessings on our church and on our community. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being a part of this community and a part of this community of faith. And Lord, we pray that you will work in our church and through our church to be a blessing to those around us, to shine the light of the gospel to those who don't know you. And Lord, we pray that in all things you would work your will through us. Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters in other lands who face persecution because of their faith. We pray for our missionaries wherever they are serving. We pray for our country and for our our leaders at all levels, asking you to guide and direct them, and Lord, that you would help them to govern with integrity, doing what is right. Father, you bless us, and we thank you. You work among us, and we're amazed. So help us now, Father, that we would live our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ in such a way that they would always bring honor and glory to you and be instruments of your peace in the world. We offer these prayers now in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, your only Son, who lives and reigns together with you in the Holy Spirit forever and ever. And we lift our prayers now as with one voice in the words of that prayer that he taught us, praying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn is number 89. Comfort, comfort ye my people. As we give this morning, may we give not out of duty, but out of love, not out of practicality, but with faith and generosity, not counting the cost, but rejoicing in the gospel of the peace that Christ brings. Thank you.
And so, Lord, as we offer these gifts to you, we pray that you would use them for your kingdom purposes. And, Father, that the good news of Christ would go forth from this place and around the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Mark 1, 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" The word of the Lord. Praise his holy name.
Prepare the way of the Lord.
Thank you. The text for our sermon this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I say? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep. Oh Lord, we thank you for your word, and as we look into it now, we pray for your guidance and your direction. We pray that you would help us to be attentive and to have open minds and hearts to hear and obey what you would speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. It had been a bleak half century. The Jews had been in exile in Babylon for 50 years or more at this time. And it had not been a pleasant experience. Now, not all of them, mind you, because the poorest of the land had been left behind to eke out an existence amid the massive destruction and dire poverty left by the Babylonian army's invasion in the wake of the fall of Jerusalem in 587 BC. But the upper crust of Jewish society, the political and religious leaders, the wealthy, the artisans, the craftsmen, they had all been taken captive to Babylon to be placed in the service of the Babylonian Empire. And it was a bondage of sorts that the Jews longed to be freed from. They longed to be delivered from it. And you can see the intensity of their grief and their anguish and their anger in the words of Psalm 137. Listen to it. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows, there we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs, and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem's fall, how they said, tear it down, down to its foundations. O daughter of Babylon, you devastator, happy shall they be who pay you back what you have done to us. Happy shall they be who take your little ones and dash them against the rock. You hear the anguish and the anger that they were experiencing because of what had happened. Now, many of the Jews didn't understand what was going on or why they were suffering such a fate, but there were some of them who understood that it was because of what they had done. It was because of their sinfulness and their rebellion against God and their idolatry, their violation of the very first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." But by now, most all of them were wondering, when will enough be enough? When will enough be enough? Have you ever felt that way? I have. In the 7 years that I was pastor of the First Baptist Church of Fairmont down in Robeson County, I averaged 17 funerals a year. But there was one stretch from July of 1999 to March of 2000 that in just over 8 months, I conducted or helped conduct 25 funerals. And they weren't all old people. The ages ranged from 44 to 103. And folks, I can tell you, that was one of the most emotionally draining times of my ministry. I got to the point I didn't want to hear the phone ring because I knew it was probably that somebody else had died. I'll have to admit, I was beginning to wonder when enough would be enough. And then our family went through it in 2007. Within 5 months, Joanne's mother died unexpectedly. My oldest brother took his own life. Joanne had surgery, and her father was diagnosed with cancer and died. It was hard not to wonder, when would enough be enough? And you've probably had times like that as well. Now, at the beginning of the exile, there were some of the prophets who had falsely told the people, this is going to last 2, maybe 3 years tops, and then Babylon will be defeated and we'll go home. Well, early on, Jeremiah the prophet had sent them a letter with a word from the Lord telling them to settle down, build houses, have children, raise families, and to seek the welfare of Babylon for their own sakes. Because the time would come when they'd return, but it'd be about 70 years before it would happen. And they were still looking for that to happen. It had been about 50 years by the time that this text applies to the people of Israel, and things were still looking bleak. Now, they'd finally learned to live with it. Some of those who still didn't care much for the covenant or the God who had made it with them, well, they had become satisfied. But there were those Jews who had a deep, deep longing to return, to go back to Jerusalem, to the land of promise, to rebuild Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple, to see Israel restored to its rightful place among the nations. But none of this had happened. Dreams unfulfilled and hopes deferred were making their hearts sick. But then, out of the clear blue, God spoke through a word from the book of Isaiah. Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. It was a comforting voice, a voice that gave the hope of restoration and redemption. But was it enough? After all, you know, it could just be their hopes ringing in their ears that were making them think that this was what God was saying to them. But then the Lord's voice was joined by a voice from the heavenly council issuing the order for the way of the Lord to be prepared through the desert. Now, you know how it is when the president's coming. The advance team goes in to set everything up to make sure the security is all tight. And then the local folks are getting everything in tip-top shape to welcome the president. Well, the way that it was done in the ancient world, a construction crew was sent in advance of a monarch's journey in order to smooth out the road, to prepare the road, to make it easier, an easier ride. And that's what this voice was calling for as the Lord was preparing to return to Jerusalem. And that was the message. Jerusalem has had enough. The Lord is returning, so prepare the way for Him. And then another voice in the heavenly council joins in as well, telling the prophet to cry out. And his message was to be that though humans are like flowers and grass, withering and fading away when the Lord's breath blows on them, the word of our Lord will stand forever. Forever. Now this was a comforting voice. God had spoken comfort, forgiveness, and deliverance to Jerusalem, and that word would stand forever. No wonder the voice calls on those who bring good news to Zion and to Jerusalem to go up on a high mountain and shout to the other cities of Judah, calling out to them, see, the Lord comes with His might. His arm rules for Him. His reward is with Him. His recompense is before Him. But don't you love this? He will feed His flock like a shepherd and gather the lambs in His arms and carry them in His bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. Comforting voices indeed. God spoke comfort to the Jews by declaring that He would bring them back to Jerusalem. He comforted them with the promise of redemption and restoration. No wonder biblical scholars have long called this part of the book of Isaiah that was addressed to the people in the time of exile the book of consolation or the book of comfort. Now, through the centuries, these voices have continued to comfort God's people. It was this passage that John the Baptist saw his identity and his mission as he prepared the way for the Messiah. He understood himself to be the voice of one calling in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord. And through this very passage, John understood that the Messiah was coming and that He was his forerunner and that he was to prepare the way for the Messiah. That's why God had sent him. Like a new Exodus, God displayed His redemptive power and purpose described here in Isaiah 40 in Jesus the Messiah, who is the Good Shepherd. In Jesus Christ, through His life, death, resurrection, and exaltation, God has mightily redeemed His people, forgiving us of our sins, setting us right with Himself, and giving us eternal life. And this good news of redemption is indeed a comforting voice. And it's especially comforting when it comes to us personally, calling us to a journey with God in which He shepherds us through the wilderness of this fallen world, eventually leading us to be with Him in heaven until the day of resurrection, and then to be at home with Him in the new creation for eternity when He brings His kingdom in its fullness. It's comforting to hear God's voice through His Word and through the voices of His servants, speaking peace in our troubled times, encouragement in our struggles, consolation in our griefs, and the hope of resurrection in the time of illness and death. Oh, how we've needed that in these years of confusion and calamity and contagion. Comfort. And the voices all say the same thing. No matter what difficulty or crisis we're facing, God speaks comfort to His people by assuring us of His redemptive power and purpose. And God's redemptive power and purpose minister to every need we have. They help us in every trial we face, and they will eventually lead us home. In Alice Gray's book, Stories for the Heart, Paula Kirk tells her story of a miserable Easter vacation. As she made her way through the airport to catch her flight, her heart was heavy over her daughter's distress and devastation. Her daughter had been married 1 year, and her husband had left. And she was in shock and sorrow, and that shock and sorrow had immobilized her. And then to make matters even worse, Paula's daughter was an air traffic controller. And Paula was concerned, is she going to be able to stay focused for this critical task? Well, in the airport, Paula stopped by a gift shop to buy some souvenirs for her grandchildren back home. And as her credit card was processing, the smiling clerk behind the counter asked her how she liked her home state. And Paula made a polite reply about its beauty. And the clerk nodded in agreement and said, "Yes, God made a beautiful world for us to enjoy, so much variety. What did you see on your vacation?" And at that, with her grief so raw and so close to the surface, tears welled up in Paula's eyes. And she stammered, "It wasn't a vacation, just a serious family problem. And my daughter's having an extremely hard time. I hate to leave her." "Oh," the clerk said, "but God is good. He will work on your daughter's behalf." And through her tears, Paula whispered, "I know." A comforting voice. A comforting voice. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. For surely I know the plans I have for you, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. If we confess our sins, He who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Comforting voices. Thanks be to God. Amen. And so, Lord, as we hear these comforting voices from your word, we pray that you would speak to our hearts now and help us to yield our lives fully to you and to experience the comfort those voices offer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In a moment, we're going to sing our hymn, number 107, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." This morning, in this time of reflection and commitment, maybe God is speaking comfort to you. What is it in your life that you need to hear a comforting voice for? Will you listen? Will you be open to Him? Will you receive it? And will you be obedient if He's calling you to do something? Maybe you've never put your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior and followed Him. That's the first thing you need to do. But the comforting voice that He gives to you is when in John 3:16 He says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life." Would you trust Him this morning? If you will, you need to come and share that good news. You need to follow the Lord in baptism and becoming a member of a local congregation. And we invite you to do that here at Murfreesboro. Whatever your need is, would you come as we stand and sing number 107? Thank you.
Let's join together in prayer. We are grateful, Lord, for what we share in worship when we come together to experience your presence, to experience fellowship with one another, to come before you as your people in prayer and praise and hearing your word and responding. And so, Lord, help us now in this holy season of Advent to reflect, to prepare our hearts to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus in a worthy way. But Lord, not only to celebrate his birth, but to prepare our hearts for his return in glory. May we be ready and waiting and watching as we follow Jesus. We pray in his name. And now, my brothers and sisters, the Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.